Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former running back Lynn Cain. Let me remind you about Lynn's background. He's from Los Angeles, California, played his college ball at USC, where he helped the Trojans to 3 bowl victories, including the 1979 Rose Bowl over Michigan and the national championship that season, according to the UPI poll. He was a 4th round draft pick, the number 100 overall selection in 1979 by the Atlanta Falcons. Played here in Atlanta from 1979 to 1984. Played his last season back home in L.A. for the Rams. Over the course of his NFL career, he rushed for just over 2,300 yards and had nearly 1,100 more receiving yards, and he scored 25 touchdowns. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution named him one of the top 50 Falcons of all time. He is now the head coach at L.A. Southwest Junior College, and we're very excited to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Lynn, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, Lynn.
Yo, thank you, guys. I appreciate you inviting me back. You can hear me, right?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, great. So, yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Lynn, I want to get your thoughts before we get into some of the stuff about your background and your time here in Atlanta and what you're doing now, but wanted to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl. What'd you think of the game?
You know, I was excited about the game. I was looking for, playing in the NFL, that league with the San Francisco on that side. There was a part of me that was like, since I played with the Falcons, we kind of lean towards that the NFC conference. And but I love what they're doing at Kansas City. You know, the Reed played at and also coached over at Glendale Community College, a college that we played against the last game of the season. So that was great to see him and his coaching style. I really enjoy the way he plays as quarterback, and I love the way the kid plays and the way he throws the ball and his ideas and thoughts that he's able to generate. So it was a lot of fun, and what I thought was going to happen turned out that way. I felt like Kansas City would play in the last two quarters, that they would play some good football, and sure enough, Mahomes did a great job of taking control of the game in the third and fourth quarter, especially in that fourth quarter. And it's like, I looked at it, he willed himself to win, to that victory. You know, it's something that he just dug down deep down inside of him and said, we're going to win this thing. And sure enough, they did. So I was happy to see a good game. I felt for the, San Francisco. They played such hard fought game the first half. But then the second half, they just didn't show up when they needed to make big plays. And so it was a lot of fun watching the game. So.
And Lynn, anytime folks around here in Atlanta know you're going to be coming on the show, and it's, you know, this time of year, whether it's, you know, in the postseason or around the Super Bowl, everybody immediately starts to talk about that 1980 team. And we've talked about it on the show here several times with you and with Steve Barkowski. But everyone remembers that 80 season and how really close you guys came and what it would have been like, because they feel pretty confident that you guys would have beaten the Eagles that year and gone on to the Super Bowl and probably would have won it. When you think back on it, is that the one that got away?
Yeah, there's not a day that doesn't go by that when we get close and I start hearing them advertising Super Bowl, There's not a moment that my heart doesn't say, oh man, we're 2 games away from going to Super Bowl. You know, it was a great run, and you know, to be up, beating Dallas by 5 minutes left in the game, and we were up, still up and winning, and to let that thing get away. We just, we didn't have the right focus and, concentration on to finish it. So yeah, it still haunts me. It still creeps up and says, you almost had it.
So, and you mentioned focus. Did you think, did the players lose focus? Did the coaching staff lose focus? I some of the controversy around town with Lehman Bennett and all that was, you know, the concern that it was, that the team got too conservative, the offense got too conservative because of the play calls, and if you just would have, you know, kept a foot on the pedal for a little bit longer, probably would have gone your way.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of speculation. You know, a lot of when you look back at the game, there was quite a few things that happened during the game. You know, we went into a zone coverage, and boy, Randy, I mean, the quarterback White just started picking us apart. And from that standpoint, we had these linebackers, Joel Williams and Al Richardson. They were buzzing, and especially Joel. You know, he made a tremendous play, rushed the quarterback. The ball's thrown at the reception. The receiver is running with the ball downfield. Joel turns around and chases the guy down, causes a fumble, and I think he picks up the ball. Just that kind of effort was that we had going for us in that first half. And the game did slow down. There's things that we chose to do. I think run the ball. But, you know, your determination. It's what you plan during the beginning of the year. If you're unfocused, and I don't think we had the plan to go to the Super Bowl that year. I know that Coach had said that it wasn't our turn, and you know it just wasn't our turn, and I don't know if that played a part in the preparation of us playing against Dallas, but it just seemed that we didn't have an answer for those moments in time, and winning a championship. You know, I've been in a championship all the way through my life. Was able to win championships in junior college. We won a state championship. USC, we won bowl games, but we also won the national championship. So I know what it's like to be in that preparation part. When there's a 6 P's, they used to say, prior planning prevents a pitiful poor performance. And so in conclusion, there was always a way that we were going to play the game, and it was going to play out. I think that was, and I go back to this Super Bowl game. When I think of Kansas City had a plan. That chip move that they made that goes back to the whole days, that was a tremendous play. I loved it. It's like when they shifted, I thought, what are they doing? But, you know, it turned out to be a winning moment. You know, some points they got on the board. You got to have that kind of planning, you know. And we did things. We made mistakes at the end of the game that cost us from even getting a first down. We get a first down, the game's over, and we go to the next game, which is playing Philadelphia in Atlanta, who we had beat, like you said, we beat at the beginning. But we let it get away. And I don't know, John Robinson wouldn't have let that thing get away like that. John McKay wouldn't have let that thing get away like that. You know, you just don't, when you got that moment, that kind of, backing, and the people that were supporting us, and it was a roll. We were on a roll, and, we let it get away. And so, you know, I know that these things played a part in the minds of the players. And I think it defeated us, right down to the point where the game was over. Here's, and I'll end on this point right here, is that this comment, we had a game we played here. This is what I was taught, fellas. I was taught this. I'm a head coach. I'm standing on the sideline, the last game of the season. Glendale drives the ball down and they score. They tie the game up with a two-pointer. They score, and our team comes to the sideline. First thing I did was I turned around and I looked on the sideline to see if we had a letdown. And I saw the energy was still up. Well, I didn't know that there was going to be, you know, we got the kickoff now, but our best return guy asked the coach, what does this mean? And they said, well, it's going to go into overtime. And if they get the ball, they score, they win the game. He says, I'm going to take this thing all the way back. I don't know why Glendale kicked off to my best return guy. They did. He got the ball, and fellas, he went 70 yards for a touchdown. The game's over. We win. That's the attitude. When we broke that huddle and had a chance to make a first down. Too tall, jumped offside. That never should have happened. It never should have happened, but it did. And I just felt like if we had planned better at that moment right there, we would have walked away, and the champagne that was on ice in the locker room at the time when we entered the locker room, we'd have been drinking it instead of packing it.
Wow. Bob, question for Lynn?
Yeah, Lynn, it's always always great to have you back on the show. And I was watching a little of the XFL this past weekend, Lynn, and I said, I got to ask Lynn about these guys, because I saw June Jones and Jerry Glanville coaching in the league. And I said, Lynn came into the league with these guys, one as a teammate, another as a coach. And here they are 40 years later, still affiliated with football. What are your memories of those two guys, Lynn? And did you think that these guys could be around this long?
You know, what I remember, I definitely remember Jerry Glanville. Boy, he was running around and coaching that defense, and the grit blitz. You guys remember that? He was about blitzing, boy. It was all out. Pin your ears back and let's go. And so Jerry would run around, and then he was, you know, dressed in black for Elvis Presley. So he was preparing for that moment in time. Wasn't he in a movie? He was in a movie with Burt Reynolds, right? Yeah, Jerry.
Right.
I think so.
he was something. And then June Jones, I give June a lot of credit for, I was talking to Bart, called him up, and, I'm a head coach, but I also want to coordinate. So I was trying to, I want to learn the balance of the two. And I was asking Bart about some questions about June and the offense we were running, and June had a lot to do with running, changing that offense with us. And they were flooding zones and areas and running people. And then they created an offense where it was not the traditional just running a route from a route tree, 9 route, 8 route, 6 route, 1 route, a hitch or whatever. But they got into, they might call a play, trip drive with 909. While he get open, and they gave him freedom to run a route that whatever he saw the opening. And if it was a man coverage or zone, he knew whether to sit it and zone or run a route in man coverage. And so June had a lot to do with it. So I'm not surprised that June is still in coaching. Matter of fact, he's the one who told me, Lynn, I know that the players I'm going to go and recruit, I already know who I'm going to go draft. All those players, he was already planning the coach, and I'm not surprised that they have lasted this long, fellas.
And Lynn, we're 2 weeks off the Super Bowl here, and I always like to ask former players, especially guys that were in the league for a while like yourself, how they spent their off seasons. What was your normal routine, Lynn, as far as how long would you give your body a rest when the season ended before you started workouts again? And what other things did you do in the off season while you were still playing?
You know, I was one of the few players that worked out in the off season. When it came to, most of those guys were used to coming in and getting in shape. But I learned through all of the tradition from SC to East LA Community College to Roosevelt High School. You know, Roosevelt, Mike Garrett went through there. So there was tradition that I was following from Mike Garrett. Then you had the Hudson brothers. One of the Hudson brothers went to USC as a defensive back. And so the tradition was set and working out. And so I was one of the guys that would work out. And, I'd take a week or two off, maybe 3 weeks, and travel. I'd go back, fly home, and spend time with family. But I would gradually start getting back into working out. And George Dasso, the late George Dasso, when he came to the Falcons with Dan Henney, he really helped me tremendously, fellas, in my off-season workout plan. And so I worked out. I was Jeff Van Note said it. He said, Lenny, you're a dying breed. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm a dying breed. He said, yeah, you love the game. You play for the love of the game. But most of these guys are playing for the money. And, you know, fellas, that's how I worked out during the offseason. I love what I did. I enjoyed. I was thankful that I was able to play in a league that I watched on TV and watched all the Rams and watched the great players, Roman Gabriel and Bass and all those great players play, you know, and then to get a chance to put that blue uniform on and go. And, you know, it was a tremendous thing. But I was always in shape. I was coming in shape. I heard someone say you were in the top three players in the history of the Falcons when it came to conditioning. And I did. I got myself in shape. I had to. I was 6'1", 205 pounds, blocking Lawrence Taylor, 6'5", 250 pounds. And he's running a 4.5, and I'm running a 4.6 downhill.
Yeah.
Hey, it was a lot of fun, but I was always in shape, played racquetball. Hey, and the year that I had, I was sitting on the bench, they had me at insurance, and they told me, you're going to be insurance in case William gets hurt and Daryl gets hurt, you're going to play. Well, that happened when we flew out in 1984. We flew out to Los Angeles, and I'm warming up. And I'm not warming up to play. I'm warming up, you know, just, hey, Gerald's in. Gerald comes over and says, Lynn, I can't play. I'm like, what? Yeah, I can't play. So you're starting. Oh, it was 90 degrees out there. I hadn't played a lick. But the good thing is I was a practice player, man. SC taught us how to practice. Matter of fact, Mike Garrett at Roosevelt, they taught us how to practice and practice hard. So I went out there, and who would think on that day I had 140 yards, 3 touchdowns, and we won the game. We beat L.A. in Los Angeles for the first time in the history of the Falcon organization. Man, that felt
good. Wow.
But I tell you what,
great.
I was packed in ice on the airplane going home.
Great. Lynn, you mentioned SC. Want to get your thoughts on your alma mater. They did pretty well last season, particularly in the conference, going 7-2, 8-5 overall. Being out there in LA yourself now, how are you feeling about what you're seeing from SC?
You know, we had a reunion, and let me start off this first. One year, this was back in 87, and it had to be back when Smith was the head coach. I went to the game, and I was standing out there on the field. I had a sideline pass, so I'm standing out there with warm up going on, and an alumni walks up to me, and he says, Lynn Kay, how you doing, Lynn? Good to see you. Glad you're back here and watching football. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about the word mediocrity? Oh, yeah, I was like, uh-oh. He hit me with mediocrity. I said, well, according to the head coaches that I've played for, that's non-existent. It's not about mediocrity. It's about you being your best. Boy, man, I tell you, it was a sad note. And the head coach at the time, they lost to Notre Dame, and they let him go. You know, so the second story is, we had a reunion, 1978, that championship team. We got together and had a reunion. They invited us to the Salute to Troy, which happens every summer. And John Robinson stood up and he said that, I think it was, Pete Carroll got the job. He said, Pete, congratulations. Glad to see that you got the job. I just got one message for you. Win, win, win. And that's the way it is, fellas. SC is about maximizing the potential of the players and winning. It's not just 8-3, making it to a bowl game. It's about somewhere in there, they want to be in the race for the national championship. And that's the way, you know, that's what was drilled in me through those coaches. And that's the way it is at the school.
And Lynn, you know, we've talked about the Falcons a little bit and about your time there. when we look at where the Falcons are at now, talk about mediocrity, 7-9, a team that, you know, a few years ago should have won a Super Bowl. You talk about when you were there, should have won a Super Bowl. They should have won a Super Bowl a few years ago. And ever since they lost that big lead in the Super Bowl, it feels like the team has gotten a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse. How do you feel about what you're seeing from the Falcons, and what do you think they need to do to get this thing turned around?
You know, that's a great question, man. It really is. And now that I'm in a head coaching position, and I look at what is it that leadership has to do, and you know, I've seen some great coaches in my life and been able to play for some great coaches, and having a coach that can, even that leadership and general managers, you know, you gotta have that support. One of the things that I have brothers that were great athletes and they were really great, did some great things for me. I had a brother high jumped over 7 feet, played baseball, basketball, football, ran track. He did all that, but he didn't play basketball because he couldn't play back-to-back sports. But he made it to the Oakland A's and played there. And then I had another brother who took me around and played basketball and taught me some things. And these guys really taught me leadership, that how to lead, and you lead by example. That's what I begin seeing is leadership. You know, you need to have the right leadership that's going to lead you. So my brother one day was talking to me, and he says, man, I can't believe they let Jerry West go. And I was like, oh, Jerry West. He said, yeah, Jerry West is the reason why the Lakers were very successful back in those years. And I was like, okay, why is that? He said, he's the one that went and got Kobe Bryant. Ooh. He brought in Kobe. Not only did he bring in Kobe, he brought in all those other players that helped him, Shaq and all of them, to go to the championship. He says, Jerry leaves there and goes to Memphis, and guess what happens there? They win there. Jerry leaves there and goes to Golden State, and guess what? They start winning over there. Now Jerry's with the LA Clippers, and guess what, fellas? It doesn't take a lack of science to figure this out. They're winning over there. Jerry knows talent. When you find someone who understands the nature of talent, the talent that you can assess, then you know how to put together a coaching staff that's going to win. Fellas, all I can say is get on the bus and enjoy the ride.
So, Lynn, you've talked about how you're head coach now at LA Southwest, and you're taking over a program that was pretty much in complete disarray, and you're kind of piecing that thing back together. Talk about the school and your program.
Yeah, fellas, this school has there was a coach here, Henry Washington. He was the head coach for years and loved the program. He was in the program, I want to say almost 30 years. And he grew up in this area. He grew up going to school in this area and then became the head coach here at LA Southwest. The good thing about it is he hired a coach who was my coach in high school, Ray McLean, the late Ray McLean. And when I came back to LA, I was looking to get into coaching. I called Ray McLean and said, Coach, I want to get together with you. And so we did. We met. He said, he gave me advice. He said, go meet this coach, Washington. So years ago, you know, my wife and I came back 2002. So years ago, I came over here and met with him. And who would think that it would come full circle where I would get hired over here? The team was in a disarray. They're on probation. And they asked me to come in. They knew my background of coaching. They said, come in and, we want you to run the program. What would be your plan? And so I laid a plan out there that I would come in. I wouldn't adjust the coaching staff, and fire them and then bring in my guy. But I would go in and adjust to the coaches that are in place. I know football from the offense, defense, special teams. I'll learn the terminology that they already have in place. We won't disrupt the student athletes. I will make sure that we secure the student athletes. That was the key, fellas, is they hired me on the spot. They said, okay, you're hired. Come in and stabilize the program. So that's what I did. I came in and worked very hard, made sure that I worked the coaching staff, securing them. And once I can secure the coaching staff, then I can secure the players. Unfortunately, 5 coaches had to go. But I brought in some guys and we secured the program. And I tell you what, that last game, we got some tremendous talent on our team. That last game, we finally played a full game of football and we wound up winning the game off of that, the return man. This kid can flat out fly, fellas. This kid, when you think he's at fifth year, he'll surprise you and show you a sixth year. It's like, wow.
Wow.
Did that just happen? Wow. And so it's been fun. It's been fun coming in. And I have experience of working with programs that have gone and had problems, financial problems and et cetera. When I was at East LA College, I had a program call me and say, hey, can you come in and help us? Our coaches are fighting one another and they're disarrayed and the coaches are kicking the head coach out and the parents are having. So I came in. Went over there. They were $15,000 in debt. And so I went there, helped them choose their coaches, the head coach, and then their assistant coaches, consulted them throughout the years over there. And that gave me the foundation, the experience to come over here to LA West. And so guy called me 4 years later. This guy called me and he's crying. He's like, hey, Coach K, we won a championship. We're, $15,000 in the black. I think it's in the black where you're making money. And so now they go from the red to the black and they're so happy. Well, fellas, I come here to LA Southwest and they're telling me the same thing. I had the experience that I can come here and stabilize their program. Now we're on the verge of bringing in a new staff and then, securing the players. It's been a lot of fun. I have had a blast, a lot of stress. My wife told me one day, two things she told me. When I was going for the job, she said, now, you know, we don't need this. You don't need to take this job. If you... And I'm like, okay, honey, I understand. So that was on the way out. But it turned out to be a great experience. And then she came back and she says, honey, I'm glad you took the job because it really helped you. And she says, I see changes in you, your leadership skills. This has helped me to stabilize being a leader in that leadership position of coaching and managing people and managing the program. And fellas, I'm having a blast over here. It's a lot of fun.
Good for you, Lynn. That's awesome. So for our listeners, Lynn, that want to stay up to date with the great things that you're going to be doing there and keep track, whether it's somewhere online or it's on social media, how can our listeners stay up to date with you?
You know, we're going to be putting up a website with me being the head coach. And then the other thing, we're going to be in the future, you can go to LA Southwest. LA South C. That's what it is. LASouthC.edu. And then it'll come up, our school will come up, and then you'll be able to see, where I'm at. And then the other thing, they want to put me out there on social media. I'm not out there. My wife keeps talking about that. Honey, you need to get out there. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I like the traditional way of facing somebody and talking to them. She's like, no, you need to get out there. So that's going to be a way of us getting out there. There'll be a way that we can get out there on social media and they'll be able to see that. Okay.
Well, Lynn, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your now very busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show and share more of your stories and insights with us. We always enjoy getting to have you as part of the segment. Thanks for being here tonight.
Fellas, I want to thank you for blessing my life. This is a lot of fun. I enjoy this. You guys are keeping my, radio skills sharpened, okay? I enjoy that.
you're doing the same to us, Lynn.
Yeah, that's probably true. Lynn, take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Chris, Bob, Happy New Year, Brett.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Same to you. All take right. care, Lynn.
Bye. All right, thank you.
That's the great Lynn Cain. Bob, guy had a tremendous run here with the Falcons and then, doing some good things in the coaching world. And again, like I say, taking that LA Southwest program from complete disarray and kind of organizing it and getting it back going, with how positive and how good Lynn is, I got a feeling those kids are going to be very lucky to have a coach like him.
Really, Chris, well said. He's, such a very, very eloquent and such a pleasant man. And, like some of our other college coaches on here, he sees what the development of the entire student athlete. And, but what a pleasant man. And hell, he's had some great stories and, always loves to come on the show, Chris. And, he's the one that keeps us sharp and, we'll keep having him on, right?
That's all right. Ah, we've got our next guest, Zig Precossi, hanging on the line. Gonna get to Zig on the other side of this real quick station break.